The Word of Truth is sponsored in part by Paul Rents. Visit paulrents.com for party and equipment rentals.
Welcome to The Word of Truth, a ministry of Pastor Lars Larson and the First Baptist Church of Leominster, Massachusetts. It is our desire that our Lord use this broadcast to instruct, encourage, and strengthen both Christians and local churches in the New England region. Pastor Lars is always available to assist you. You may reach him at 978-660-8869. May today's message from our pastor be blessed by our Lord to instruct and encourage you through the Holy Scriptures, the Word of Truth.
Greetings, and thank you for listening to our study of God's Word. We are presently in Romans 15 of our study of Paul's epistle to the Romans. And here we read of God's overarching purpose in history to bring glory unto himself through bringing salvation to the worldwide church comprised of both Jewish and Gentile believers. It was for this primary reason Paul sought to instruct and encourage the Christians in the church at Rome to exhibit true loving fellowship within the church body. For in doing so, they would be testifying to God's great purpose, even contributing to God's great purpose to glorify himself through the church. We will continue our study after we pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are using your people, those whom you have redeemed by Jesus Christ, to bring about your glory in this fallen world. We see in the passage before us that you manifest your glory through the fellowship of your people within local churches. But Father, it would seem that too often we seem to obscure your glory rather than display it. Our Lord taught us, his disciples, that we are the light of the world. We are as a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. And nor are we to be as those who do light a lamp and put it under a basket, but rather we are to be on open display as on a lampstand, so that we are able to give light to all who are in the house, all who are in the world. But Father, it would seem that we all too often fail to shine forth brightly and clearly, displaying your glory. And so, Father, may you give us a fresh vision of this high and noble calling, and may you, the God of endurance and encouragement, enable us to do these things as churches of Jesus Christ. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in our study of this portion of God's Word, Romans 15, we've sought to show the larger picture of God's purpose in history. We read that we are to live in harmony with one another, verse 5. But we also read, in order for this to occur, that God must be working in our midst. And Paul stated specifically what it was that God must provide for us as churches if we are to fulfill God's will respecting our living in harmony with one another as believers. And so in verse 5, we read Paul describing God. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another. And so it takes grace from God in order for a church to be what it should be, live out its life as God would have it live. God is the God of endurance, and God is the God of encouragement. And if we're to live in harmony with one another to the glory of God within a local church, God will need to impart to us the grace of endurance and the grace of encouragement. Now, last time we considered in some detail the truth that first, our God is a God of endurance. That is, God enables his people to be characterized by endurance. God is the source for the believer's endurance. Because our God is a God of endurance, we may be assured that he will enable us to persevere through all that challenges us and all that might discourage us from our faith in him. He is able to enable his people to persevere. And as we concluded our last program, we addressed those verses that speak of God's ability to keep his own, to enable them to have endurance to persevere. But now let's consider those verses that speak of the certainty of God keeping his own. Now, we believe in the Reformed doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. God will most certainly keep his own unto his promised fullness of salvation that he has in store for them. For example, we read the prophecy in Jeremiah 32, 37 through 42. And this is a prophecy of this new covenant age that we currently enjoy through Jesus Christ. This is a declaration of God, what he intended to do regarding a remnant of Jews, bringing them salvation. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in great wrath. Speaking about the Jews who had been exiled to Babylon and elsewhere. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And God did that. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. That's covenant language. And then I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever. That's God's grace working in God's people, enabling them to persevere in faith and obedience unto him. I read on in Jeremiah 32. For the good of them and for their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their heart so that they will not depart from me. There you have it. The certainty of God keeping his own. God goes on to say of his people, yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart, with all my soul. For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great calamity on this people, so I will bring on them all the good that I have promised them. And we are enjoying these benefits in this new covenant age. And we look forward, of course, to the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, which will be that promised land that we will enjoy forever. We can also read the prophecy in Ezekiel 36, verses 22 through 27. Now, Ezekiel, as a young man, was taken off to Babylon, along with other Jewish survivors after the siege and the invasion of Babylon. And it was through Ezekiel the prophet that God promised that he would bring his people back to the land. And, of course, the Savior would be brought to them, and he would establish a new covenant with them. And one of the terms of this new covenant is that God will cause them to be obedient to him, to be faithful to him. And so here is Ezekiel 36, 22 through 27. And this is instruction from God to his prophet. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Now, I might just interject here the Reformed understanding of this. God is still bringing people from all the countries, as it were, by the gospel, into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We're on this pilgrimage. We're journeying onto our heavenly Zion, and one day we will arrive. And God is calling us out from the nations, gathering us out of all the countries, both Jewish and Gentile believers in Jesus Christ. And then we read of the provision of the new covenant in Ezekiel 36. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you. That's an emblem of cleansing from sin. And you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. Here it is. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. See, that's the provision in the new covenant. All true disciples of Jesus Christ, all those who are truly born again, will order their lives according to God's law. God enables them to do so because he puts his spirit within them. And then we can come into the New Testament. We can read the same teaching, the same doctrine. 1 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9, Paul wrote, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so there we have the same idea being conveyed, that we saw in Romans 15. That is, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another. God enables his people to do so because God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul expressed to the church at Philippi, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, for that God chose you from the beginning unto salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth, whereunto he called you through our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God keeps his own. He doesn't lose one of us. And thanks be to God for that. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, and the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who will also do it. See, there's the certainty that God will keep his own. There's no question about it. People who are saved by Jesus Christ are kept by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter there is saying that our inheritance, that is salvation in its fullness, is being reserved, being guarded in heaven for you. And then he turns around and says, not only is God guarding that inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, but he's also keeping you. It's God's power that is guarding you through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And then 1 John 2:19 reads, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. There, again, you have not only God's ability being suggested, but the certainty that God will keep his own. Now, not only is God the God of endurance, he's able to enable his people to endure in their faith, but secondly, we read that our God is a God of encouragement. Again, Romans 15:5 reads, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. Now, what's meant by this expression, encouragement? Well, it means God is the source of encouragement. God is the one who is able to encourage his people. Now, actually, the Greek word translated as encouragement here is paraklesios, and it's translated commonly in one of three ways in the New Testament. It's translated as comfort in the following verses, 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. There it is, the paraklesios, who comforts us. There it is again in a verbal form, in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort, that's in an infinitive form, those who are in any affliction with the comfort, that's a noun, with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And also Paul translated as comfort in 2 Corinthians 1:6. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. And so the Greek word translated as encouragement in Romans 15:5 is translated in some places as comfort. The word is also translated, however, as exhortation. For example, in Acts 13:15 we read, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And So the word translated, Greek word translated as encouragement in Romans 15:5 is translated as exhortation in that passage where certain Jewish leaders of the synagogue were inviting the Apostle Paul to speak if they had a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation for the people. And then Hebrews 12:5. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? And again, same word translated as encouragement in Romans 5:5. And the writer to the Hebrews reasoned with them, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. And so God exhorts us, moves us onto holy living through his chastening dealings with us. And so the word translated here in Romans 15:5 as encouragement is translated in other ways elsewhere. In Acts 4:36, it's translated as encouragement. We read, thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus. If I remember my King James, it was the son of consolation. Again, that's the Greek word. And so again, Romans 15:5 reads, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus. Paul is saying that these two great gifts of God are essential to the body of Christ in order for the people in the body to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. The Church of Jesus Christ is an order of people, a gathering of people like no other. The Lord takes disparate people from all walks of life, from all manner of backgrounds, from all kinds of different sinful backgrounds. He knits us together into a single body in order for us to live to the glory of God. But in order for this to happen, and to happen over time, God needs to impart to his people the two gifts of endurance and encouragement. It takes endurance and encouragement to survive and get along within the Church of Jesus Christ. For there are many things that could divide the body of Christ or could cause the cohesiveness of a local church to disintegrate. Dissension and factions can result. They commonly are seen. Fellowship would no longer be present or even possible given the issues with which the body commonly suffers. There's enough sin in any one of us to wreak havoc among the rest of us if it were not for the mercy and grace of God. But God is able to enable his people to persevere with one another, to grant his people both endurance and encouragement so that the body grows and develops and fulfills its purpose, which is for them to glorify God as the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, as we pointed out earlier, the fellowship that is spoken about here in Romans 15 in the church at Rome between Jewish believers and Gentile believers was not an easy matter to achieve. It did not come natural to them. They were going to have to work at it through obedience to God's word as God enabled them to believe and apply the truths of the gospel to their church fellowship. Now, we should not think that that kind of fellowship that's to characterize the church is something that's easily acquired or once acquired is easily maintained. It is not. Every local church is in need of God's grace. And again, this grace is needful not simply so we can get along with one another, but rather so we may develop the kind of friendship and fellowship that should characterize us as the people of God. Conflict within the local church can become heated and wearisome. And so God must grant his people, must grant them individually, all of us, both endurance and encouragement so that we continue together and grow together as a single body of Christ. And again, we're talking about local churches here. The kind of fellowship that should characterize a local church requires effort on our part. We read of this in Ephesians 4, verses 1 and following. Paul wrote, I therefore, prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Well, how do you walk in a manner worthy of the calling? With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And there you see, you know, effort needs to be exhibited, needs to be made in order to attain this biblical fellowship. And perhaps the word translated eager in verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 4 eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit, could better be translated as it is in the New King James Version, endeavoring. It takes great effort and intention to be what we can be and should be as a local church of Jesus Christ. Now, let's put this together once again. Put it all together in Romans 15. Romans 15, 5 and 6 read, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So let us consider in more detail what it is that we may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. First, we're told in verse 7, "Therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Now, the idea of welcoming is to extend fellowship and friendship to another Christian. We are to welcome other Christians into our fellowship in a local church. Those whom Christ has accepted, we are to accept. In other words, any and all true Christians who desire to be a part of a local church, who give evidence that the Lord has received them through the gospel, are to be welcomed into the fellowship of that church. Now, let me state this and consider this. I believe this verse sets forth a principle that runs counter to some ministry models that's quite popular in evangelicalism. There are churches who have intentionally designed their ministry and outreach to draw and include only a certain kind of people from the community in which they find themselves. They do this intentionally. They are taught this is how you build a local church. This is how you start a church. And so they come into a community to establish a church. They make a study of the demographics of the place. They shape their church's image and formulate its ministry in order to reach, say, the young professionals or the young family with children. And the church is designed specifically to reach that niche within society. But we read in the scriptures that church is to be a place where all are sought and all are welcomed who've been welcomed by God unto himself through faith in Jesus Christ. I was speaking to a couple who had been part of a church in a major metropolitan city of our nation. And they expressed frustration with the church body and that they didn't seem to fit the model of the folks of that church. They were professionals, very educated, very successful, who had career goals. I'm talking about the church, the membership primarily. Professionals, very educated, very successful, who had career goals, had similar expectations or standards for the people in their church. And the woman with whom I spoke was on several occasions marginalized by others in the church because she desired to be a stay-at-home mom, a mother to her children. And that just did not fit within that church. Her husband, along with a friend, had sought to establish a ministry to the homeless in the area, but it became clear to him that that church had no desire, nor would it encourage such a ministry. That was simply not what their church was like. Well, I would suggest that that church had developed a church model that is not according to Scripture. No, we are to be reaching out for all people, all sinners everywhere, going to the highways and the hedges and compelling them to come in as God enables to do so. Now, there are other churches, however, that go to the other extreme. There's a church in Oregon with which I'm familiar that would only allow those families to join their church whose wives did not work outside the home and whose children were homeschooled. But again, that's a ministry model, a church model that is not modeled in the New Testament. No, the church, the local church, is to be as wide and as welcoming as the gospel by which we are brought into fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. What God has cleansed, we're not to call or treat as unclean or common. If you are in Jesus Christ, you are to be welcomed into a local church. And that's what we certainly strive to do at our church, First Baptist Church of Leominster. And we are committed, we promise, that if a sinner comes to Christ, he or she will be embraced as a brother or sister in Christ, no matter where they've been, where they happen to have come from. If God has accepted you through Jesus Christ, we purpose that we will do so also. And I think every local church ought to have that intention, but that's not the case. There are many local churches that have developed a culture that they do not want disturbed. And new people, frankly, upset that, undermine that, and that troubles people. We're not bringing forth the glory of God to the world by having that kind of outlook. Well, we must close. Until next time, may the grace of God be abundantly granted to you.
We trust that God has blessed you from listening to Dr. Lars Larson. Today's program, as well as previously recorded messages, are available through our website. We invite you to visit thewordoftruth.net. The First Baptist Church of Leominster and concerned friends have sponsored this broadcast of The Word of Truth. If we may assist you by directing you to a sound, reformed church near you, please contact us. If Pastor Larson can assist you further or answer a question that you may have about today's subject, he would be pleased to speak with you. You may reach him at 978-660-8869. Until our next time together, may our God bless you richly through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's The Word of Truth program was sponsored in part by Paul Rents. Visit paulrents.com for party and equipment rentals.